Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservinator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservinator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, the Conservinator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservinator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservinator.com. Check it out today.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another awesome, fun-filled, intellectually stimulating, absolutely titillating, bombastic. I'm running out of words right now. Welcome back to the Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. We're going to be kind of taking a little sidestep away from the election because, well, you come here for original content, things you're not going to hear anywhere else. If you want to hear about the election, you probably heard it throughout the day, so you want something kind of different. You want to get away from all the depressing, sad, terrible news about Crooked Hillary and Duckin' Donald. I hear you. I'm really lowering my expectations in life in terms of, like, things to look forward to. Earlier this week, we had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 drop their first commercial, and then we had the new X-Men film Logan drop their teaser trailer, and I was just like, you see, no matter who ends up starting World War 3, at least we'll get those sequels. And I joke around, but, you know, it's just little things like that. It's sad that I'm having to look towards this those mindless attempts at entertainment to keep me a little optimistic, but that seems to be a lot of people these days. But what's something you do need to worry about? If you remember a few weeks back, we had former Libertarian presidential candidate Kevin McCormick on the show to talk about the issues of net neutrality, ICANN, and all that jazz. Well, if you remember and you paid attention, you understand that recently we gave it away. That's right, folks. We gave away the keys to the car to Iran, North Korea, Russia. And I told you this episode wasn't going to be as depressing. I may have lied to myself and to you. But we're going to go ahead and understand what the actual repercussions are, because no one's talking about this. Tonight we have my good friend Josh Withrow. He's the director of public policy at Free the People. And he has hair that would make Thor jealous. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Josh Withrow to the show. Josh, welcome.
Thanks for that intro, Renzo.
So, Josh, are we screwed?
You know, with respect to the ICANN transition, which is underway now, the deadline for that having since passed, I actually want to bring some "the sky is not falling" news here. I know that a lot of good folks, a lot of smart folks, Ted Cruz, the Heritage Foundation, any number of conservative leaders all kind of put out, like, this transition means that, oh my God, Russia and China and Iran control the internet now, and they're going to censor everything, and it's going to hurt our national security, and everything is terrible, and we basically just gave the UN away, UN the internet. The truth of the matter is that while the ICANN transition isn't without some problems, it's not as cataclysmic as Ted Cruz made it out to be. He did a good job of branding it, right? And saying that that, you know, getting people alarmed about it, it was good retail politics. But the fact of the matter is that ICANN is not as is not as powerful in terms of controlling what you can see on the internet or controlling what you can access as a lot of folks who are maybe not tech heads have made it out to be. Essentially, what ICANN is, it's a nonprofit that was formed by the U.S. government several decades ago that controls the allocation of domain names. So the domains like .com and .bit and .biz and .gov and .xxx, they hold the registries of sort of how those are put out and allocated. Two reasons why I don't think we ought to be as concerned about that as some folks are saying, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned, but one, this is not the only system that's out there for allocating domain names or allocating how you get information on the internet. It just happens to be the one that we own, and it happens to be the one that people use now. It doesn't mean it's going to be what people use forever, and that's actually one of the reasons why some folks on the more libertarian side of the spectrum have not been as concerned about the transition, because essentially technology is moving forward in a way that the ICANN may not even be all that useful in the future anyways. The second thing is that the sort of multi-stakeholder model that ICANN is transitioning to is a better alternative than what the really bad countries, Russia and China and Iran and Saudi Arabia, actually want to do. They actually aren't super thrilled about this model, because it actually takes power away from them in terms of what they would like to do. Eli Dorado, who's a brilliant scholar at the Mercatus Center, wrote a really great article about this, talking about what these countries that would love to censor the internet and use it for their own propaganda purposes, what they would really like to do. They would like to have an excuse to actually appeal the control of all the domain names and stuff directly to the UN's committee that actually manages these sort of things, the telecommunications committee, and actually have them essentially truly run it. ICANN, as it stands, is still going to be an independent entity that now just answers to more bosses. Whereas, what these guys would like to do is have the UN actually run the damn thing themselves. That could still happen, but they have less of a case to make without the U.S. owning ICANN, because one of their pitches to the rest of the world is, well, hey, we can't trust the U.S. to run these key aspects of the internet, because look at them, they're using the internet infrastructure to spy on all of our stuff, and therefore they shouldn't be trusted to have sole jurisdiction over all this stuff. With ICANN transitioning to a multi-stakeholder model, they're going to have a harder time making that claim. The one thing I'd add to that, though, is that there are some concerns. There's some legitimate concerns that really, really smart folks like the folks at Tech Freedom, for example, who are conservative libertarian, very knowledgeable on tech issues, raise. And that's that perhaps the transition should have occurred. Perhaps it's not a bad thing to make this transition, but it should have been done better. Perhaps there's even still the chance to place some restrictions on how the transition, to give it more supervision, to give it more accountability, and also to try to prevent ICANN from suffering mission creep. One of the things that people are worried about is that it could try to expand its authorities into policing intellectual property violations on the internet and those sort of things, that it could end up being used that way to impose a sort of censorship on some of the domains under its jurisdiction, and that would be a really bad thing that has even people who are generally fairly okay with the transition, that is one thing that has them very nervous, and certainly something that we should watch out for. But did we just hand the keys to the internet over to the UN? No, it's not that simple. It's not that bad. We should keep a wary eye on it, but sky's not falling, folks.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from with that. And, if what you're saying is right, which it probably is, because I know you do your research, it's not absolutely terrible. My biggest thing, though, is this. I mean, you brought up the fact that other nations are upset about the fact that we were using mass surveillance and metadata collection, other signals and electronic intelligence techniques to spy on them, which we were. But my thing is this. If you're listening and you think that the United States is the only country spying on others, I mean, you're gravely wrong. Everyone in some way is spying on us, whether it's the Brits or the Israelis. Even our own allies do it. Everyone does. It's just something that occurs. And in terms of the trade-off, while giving ICANN away in this way, I know even Aaron Sorkin wrote a giant manifesto about why he wanted net neutrality and why he wanted to give ICANN away. I get the case for it, but it seems that with the current administration, what we've seen the past 8 years is that we're going to undermine our own security. We're going to weaken our allies while strengthening our enemies. And while ICANN and this body that they're trying to get together to try and manage everything, while it might seem relatively weak, I just know that, you know, with the globalist, with everything else, they're going to try and find a way to expand it, to use it for despotic means. I mean, are you not worried that they're going to try and find a way to use it for ill intent, or do you think they're actually just going to try and regulate it more?
Well, certainly they're going to try to regulate it more. In terms of using it for despotic intent, the one thing about it transitioning to this kind of a multi-stakeholder model is that the fact of the matter is it's harder to use it.
Because no one knows what's going on.
Well, and because you have a lot of different stakeholders in the game who all have different competing interests, who are all arguing with each other over what they'd like to do with it, as opposed to it being solely controlled, for example, by, you know, a panel at the UN, or solely controlled by another country. My actual biggest concern, and once again, I'm echoing Eli Dorado because I follow his stuff and respect him a lot, and he knows his stuff, is not that ICANN will be used for those purposes, but that in fact they'll try to bypass it entirely. He wrote a fantastic article called "How Russia and the UN are actually planning to take over the internet," and he kind of lays out what they would like to do. They'd actually like to transition away from the IANA structure that ICANN oversees, and they'd like to transition to a digital object architecture is what it's called, where internet data that's being transmitted is kind of has information baked directly into the packets that are being sent around, so that you can actually track what's being sent from where as it goes across the internet. And I think it shouldn't be terribly hard to imagine why certain regimes would love to have that ability in terms of censoring the internet. And so that that kind of transition into a completely different model of how information is tagged and cataloged and sent across the internet is what ought to terrify us.
Oh my gosh, that's that's actually just a cold shiver up my spine. Oh my lord. Yeah, Josh, we're going to go ahead and continue this conversation. But first, folks, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Hang on tight. You're listening to the Rumsfeld Republic. We'll be right back in a moment.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rumsfeld Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and a great way to promote the libertarian message is through libertarian media, blogs, podcasts, videos. At libertarianwingmedia.com, it's an open-door policy for any libertarian who would like to contribute. So just email me at alexmerced@alexmerced.com and I'll set you up as an author. At libertariansocial.com, you can have a profile, create groups, become friends with other members, message other members, and post blogs. At libertarian101.com, you'll find several videos on pretty much any question you can think of and any issue libertarian. So check those out and make sure to subscribe to great libertarian podcasts, such as the Alex Mercedcast, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, Lions of Liberty, and the Remzo Republic. Thank you very much.
Marine, father, Utahn, husband, libertarian. These are some of the things that describe who Craig Bowden is. He's a current congressional candidate in Utah, and it's not about left wing or right wing for Craig. It's about the right thing to do. If you're interested in learning more about his campaign, how to advance economic freedom and personal liberty, check out craigforcongress.org. That's Craig,
the number four,
congress.org. Expand freedom in your lifetime and vote for Craig Bowden for Congress. Everyone, welcome back to the show. We have Josh Withrow from Free the People with us. Josh, to kind of stay on topic, but to shift domestically, what are some of the things within the House and the Senate you see changing in terms of the surveillance state and everything else? I know recently I was just going through Twitter and I saw Justin Amash talking about certain provisions of the USA Freedom Act, how it's made collection of cell phone records and other things more permanent and much more costly now. What are some of the things that are worrying you domestically as of right now, going into the future post-2016?
Yeah, immediately that thing that you just brought up about the USA Freedom Act and telephone metadata surveillance is a pretty it's not a surprising one to those of us who really follow the debate, but it is definitely startling to see that already, just within a year of that bill passing, that we've already gotten confirmation that our fears came true on this. And basically what happened was the USA Freedom Act prohibited the NSA from actually collecting and storing in bulk this domestic telephone metadata. But what it set up an infrastructure for them to do instead is for them to essentially query the databases of this metadata from the telephone companies themselves. And in doing so, it actually gave them far broader access to a much larger quantity of better sorted information than they ever had access to when they were just hoovering up all of the information and storing it on their own drives. They didn't have access to all of the databases of all of the cell phone providers, for example, before, but now they do. And it saves them the expense of having to store the stuff themselves. So, in terms of the selectors that they're using, whether, you know, to what extent they're still conducting bulk queries of this data, I mean, I think you can just look to that thing that happened recently with where they asked Yahoo to scan all emails that were incoming to its servers to understand how broadly they tend to interpret their legal authority. We're only searching for one selector, but we're searching literally everybody's emails to see if it occurs.
Okay, so Josh, I'm going to stop real fast. I'm a product of the public education system, so can you kind of dumb it down for me a little bit more?
Sure. In terms of what the NSA is doing in metadata, or what they did with Yahoo?
What they did with Yahoo.
So what they did with Yahoo was actually scanning content. And what they did, according to the leaks that we have, is they asked Yahoo to use the same sort of scanning technology that they use to filter out and search for things like child pornography and other things that Yahoo scans for and automatically turns that stuff over to law enforcement. They asked them to modify that, to use it to scan for some sort of selector. We don't know exactly what it was, but we've been given indications to believe it was maybe some sort of encryption or some sort of icon or email tag that was specific to a foreign terrorist affiliated group, and basically scan every email coming into Yahoo's servers, domestic and foreign, doesn't matter, to see if this selector popped up. Which, you know, if they were able to pick a selector that truly did weed it down to just, you know, say the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, then that's cool. But it's pretty easy to imagine how this could be extremely easily used to search for some other sort of selector, which wouldn't be legal. But then again, we've also seen that when it comes to in the name of keeping us safe, the NSA and the FBI have not always been super worried about the exact definitions of their authority provided by law.
So what did we actually gain by going with the USA Freedom Act versus the Patriot Act? Because I thought the purpose of the Patriot Act – I'm sorry. I thought the purpose of the USA Freedom Act was to prevent things like that from occurring.
It did accomplish one thing very narrowly. The USA Freedom Act prevented the NSA from issuing these bulk warrants that were ordering telephone companies and cell phone companies to turn over their entire database of telephone metadata, which the NSA was then storing on their own servers so that they could search it later. So now the NSA doesn't own, supposedly, does not own actual copies of all this metadata. They have to ask for it nicely. And then turns out companies aren't real comfortable putting up a fight against a national security letter or a FISA court warrant. So generally speaking, they get what they ask for. But supposedly there have been some limits placed on how much, how often, and what they can actually ask the companies to turn over. But since all of these sort of decisions and warrants are made in secret courts that the public and most of Congress never gets to see, we don't really know how much good the act did.
Gotcha. I'm just curious, and I know I'm breaking my promise – but who is worse in terms of the surveillance state, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Well, we know that Hillary is definitely really bad on this issue. She has tended to be a giant hawk and a giant friend of the sort of defense industrial and intelligence complex. In the past, she has been she took votes in the Senate, in fact, that showed that she is pretty okay with a, you know, John McCain-esque spy on them all. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear sort of approach to surveillance. Trump himself has not really said a lot about the issue, but I'm concerned because his foreign policy and security advisory team consists of a lot of folks who themselves are pretty okay with domestic mass surveillance, people like John Bolton and Paul Wolfowitz and people like that. So I kind of feel like it's a lose-lose scenario there, and that neither one of them are likely to shake up or change, or for the better, any of the stuff that's going on right now with the intelligence state.
So no matter who wins, and at this point I'm putting my chips on Hillary, because I mean, she brings a gun to a knife fight. I mean, as soon as the GOP nominated the weakest candidate in this entire race, I knew that Hillary was going to win. But basically everything we've seen the past 16 years as of now is essentially going to keep going.
It sure does appear that way. Now, there is an opportunity for reform, if you don't mind me segueing to that.
Go for it.
So at the end of 2017, one of the key provisions of the USA Patriot Act, there were several provisions of the USA Patriot Act that were left temporary, that have to be reauthorized periodically by Congress because they were so controversial they couldn't convince Congress, even in a post-9/11 world, to make them permanent. And one of these was Section 215, which the USA Freedom Act addressed. That was metadata. The other one is Section 702. Section 702 has to do with the actual collection of content, the actual text of your emails, your search histories, your text messages. I mean,
it's not just the receiver going to the end user. It's the actual content, like what was actually searched, where it actually went, that type of thing.
Correct. Yeah, this is much more invasive. Now, it's supposed to be limited to the collection of information from foreign sources, to and from foreign sources that the, you know, surveillance state has identified as a possible threat. However, what's been happening is, by what's known as the backdoor search loophole, is that the way that this is collected, and we don't know a lot of the details about how this stuff is collected. We know the program exists thanks to Edward Snowden, but we don't know how a lot of it works. But what we do know, and what the NSA has actually confirmed, is that a large quantity — the NSA says they don't know exactly how much, but it's a lot — of American emails get caught up in this collection. And this is content. This is actual communications and other text information that are from Americans without a specific warrant, that's being collected by the NSA. it's going to be tricky because this is coming up for reauthorization and you're wanting to reform a program that you don't know exactly how it works, and the NSA is not exactly about to spill the beans. So, but there are some opportunities to make reforms even in the dark that would add some due process protections so that at the very least they would have to hopefully do more in the way of getting an actual warrant before they're actually searching and seizing and using these emails from American citizens. And some of these reforms have actually been passed as amendments in Congress over the past couple of years. You may recall an amendment by Congressman Thomas Massie and Democratic Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren that that had actually passed Congress to an appropriations bill a couple of years ago, and it would have restricted funding for the use of this program with regard to American communications. And there's other sort of reforms that that have actually had some success in Congress. But it's a little different thing to pass an appropriations amendment that everyone knows is going to not ultimately get signed into law at the end of the year. And another thing altogether to actually, you know, reauthorize 702 with real reform that stops the NSA from its wide-ranging collection of Americans' communications.
Wow.
So the battle is actually going to start fairly soon. You're going to start seeing some of the reformers, the folks like me who would like to see much stronger, stricter guidelines as to what the NSA is allowed to do and to whom. You're going to start seeing people starting to draw kind of their battle lines of what the kind of reforms they want to see early, late this year and early next year, and then. And then Congress is going to want to take this on, probably, you would assume, before it gets to the brink. And so, you know, sometime middle of next year, this is going to be an active fight that people can look forward to hopefully having another robust debate like we did over the USA Freedom Act. Although that didn't turn out the way I would have liked it to, at the very least, it forced Congress to actually ask questions that they would rather not ask, and got the public engaged in some meaningful way in, you know, what the hell are our watchmen are actually doing, spying on us.
Exactly. I'm, like I said, this is a flavor of depressing, but I'm glad to know that this fight isn't over and that regardless of who becomes president, there are going to be other people representing us right now in Washington that are going to keep this fight going. So I'm glad to hear that. That does fill me with some degree of optimism. Anyway, Josh, we're going to go into our final segment. Folks, hang on tight. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be back in a moment.
Renzo in the mix.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers?
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
It is an absolute and total dictatorship taken over by the Chicago mob.
I don't know. We wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So yes, I still am running for president. Get over it.
Nice report. And now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
So much noise from people. I mean, when did we actually go to certain individuals to learn how to think? When was the last time they actually just asked you, make your own decision, come to your own conclusion? There are a lot of talking heads out there, but when it comes to actual factual insightful information, where do I go? There are many good sites out there, but in terms of just one individual I usually keep my eye out for, it's got to be one of the best bloggers I think I've ever read. He gives you the perfect clash of libertarian and conservative insight. Who is this individual? Well, let me tell you. His name is Joel Curtinitis. That's Curtinitis. Joel Curtinitis. He's a branded contributor at The Blaze. He's at the Liberty Conservative, and currently he's at the Des Moines Register. And let me tell you, if you want to listen to a person that has a dry and quick wit, he's incredibly well-read, and he's just going to give you straight talk. This is it. You can find Joel Curtinitis on Twitter at Joel_Curtinitis, or you can find him on Facebook. If you're looking for someone that just gets straight to the point, gives you insightful knowledge that you're not going to get anywhere else, it's Joel Curtinitis. So check him out today.
How about the rest of us? right wing and bitter clinging proud clingers of our guns, our God, our in our religions, in our constitution tell us that we're not red enough.
Avoid the noise of Joel Curtinitis.
My name is Dr. Moran, and this is patient recording session 22B, October 8th, 2016.
You want me to pledge my devotion? Everyone wants loyalty to their ideals. Even you, Huxley. That way, it's not the person who's poisoned, it's the faith. And in the end, that makes you no different than your enemy, does it? Both of you fighting for your cause, for your beliefs. You can't stand the idea that maybe I was turned away from you and towards someone else. That your beliefs weren't strong enough. I won't give you the satisfaction of knowing either way. I saw the face of the butcher because of you. I endured the darkest nights of my soul because of you. When you look at me, I want you to realize one thing. I might be a monster, but I'm the monster you created.
Indoctrination today on Amazon.com and learn more at www.indoctrinationcomic.com. Everyone, welcome back to our final segment. As always, after leading you through a trail of tears, emotional berating, and just straight up melancholy, what do we typically do? Well, we want to leave you something to, you know, give you kind of a laugh sending off. Today we have our newest edition of Political Word Association from Hell. The rules are very simple, Josh. I'm going to give you a simple word, and you're going to have a few seconds to give a response. If you mumble, fumble, pause too long, you lose. As the game keeps going, we're going to get faster. The words and terms are going to get more complicated. And at the end, you win the infamous Remser Republic No Prize, which is essentially ultimate bragging rights. So the question is, are you ready?
Oh, my.
Let's begin. Patriot Act.
Unconstitutional.
George Bush Sr.
Oof. Surveillance state lackey.
Bill Clinton.
Monica Lewinsky.
Paul Wolfowitz.
Warmongering piece of crap.
Star Wars.
Best movie franchise ever.
Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr. was pretty awesome.
WikiLeaks.
Wish they'd be more careful with what they leaked.
Trey Gowdy.
That hair, though.
Vladimir Putin.
I've got nothing.
Hugh Jackman.
Was awesome as Jean Valjean.
Donald Trump.
Huge.
Tim Kaine.
Corrupt interrupter.
The Tea Party.
Maybe not dead yet.
USA Freedom Act.
Well-intentioned, ineffectual.
Ed Gillespie.
Corrupt sleazebag.
NSA.
Who watches The Watchmen?
Elijah Cummings.
I don't have anything to say about that dude.
Captain America.
No opinion. Haven't seen the movie.
The 2016 election.
Dumpster fire.
Mike Pence.
Dude, really?
Bill Weld.
Libertarian.
1984.
Also 2016.
And lastly, Harambe.
Why is he still a thing?
And Josh, you win this week's episode of Political Word Association from Hell. You know, I think Harambe might be the only thing that hasn't disappointed me this entire year. I mean, he's like dead and stuff, and he wasn't a person, he was a gorilla. But, you know, it's just... I could never not laugh when I saw a Harambe meme.
you know, I really don't understand why he's still a thing. I have to figure this is another one of those sort of social memes that somehow 4chan managed to make a thing again, because, you know, you thought he was dead and it was gone and it was over, and all of a sudden now he's everywhere again, and my God, I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, I'm slowly starting to think that maybe he's like, okay, you know they made Pepe the Frog meme? Apparently it's been hijacked by like neo-Nazis and white supremacists. I'm starting to think that maybe Harambe might secretly be a progressive, and he's the progressive version of Pepe the Frog. And then I have some friends who are like, oh, well, you know, Pepe was created by the NSA to track down white supremacists to make sure who the racist voters were, to track them down and everything. And Harambe's the exact same thing, except he's Donald Trump's version to track down all the progressives who he can't win over and all this other stuff. And it's just absolutely insane.
Except it's not working, because I think half the people I see sharing Harambe memes are, you know, conservative friends of mine who just think it's hilariously offensive just to make jokes about Harambe, because...
Hey, man, he took a shot for you. The last thing that we need to do is like take a shot for him or something. I don't know. It's nothing makes sense anymore.
I'll tell you what, I'll take a shot to that right now.
Salute. Anyway, Josh, if people want to learn more about you, Free the People, get in contact with you on social media and everything else, how can they do so?
Well, I have a Twitter account that I have started using again. It's at JG Withrow. And if anybody ever wants to get a hold of me or just ask me some more questions, they can always reach me at jwithrow, that's W-I-T-H-R-O-W, at freethepeople.org. I'm happy to reach out to folks and happy to answer questions.
Oh, one question before I leave everyone off tonight and finish the show. Josh, are you optimistic about the future?
I don't think that it's without hope. It never is, not as long as there's people who still understand what liberty is and care about it. As long as that flame is still burning, there's always some hope.
Perfect. Josh Withrow from Free the People, thank you so much for being on the program tonight, man. It was an absolute blast finally getting you on.
Thanks, Rimso. Take care.
Not a problem. Folks, as always, keep your chin up. Not only do we have people like Justin Amash in the house, but we have the new Logan movie coming out. And if you got lower your expectations, at least be entertained. Speaking of entertainment, what can you do right now? What you can do is you can subscribe to the show, possibly leave us a rating and review, and if you really like us, leave us a donation at rwmartinez.liberty.me. But as of now, if you're listening to this and you want to try and find something a little bit more convenient, just remember we're on a numerous amount of platforms. We're on Aha Radio as of recently, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. We're everywhere. You can find us. You can even find us at liberty.me studios. We're syndicated through there. As always, keep your chin up, America, you sexy beast. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?